Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I hope you are ready to have a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you have your shopping done. I hope that you are not completely flaming out in craziness like I am. I'm wishing these things on you because I do not have them for myself. But yeah, I just hope you guys are having a great week as you finish out this year and look forward to Christmas. Later on in the show, we are going to be having an interesting question, discussion with Candace about sharing a hotel room. So, you know, she has it in relation to a wedding, but, you know, if you're traveling with friends home from college or whatever, listen in, just listen in, everyone. We haven't answered this one before, so you're going to want to hear it. Now, for our culture segment, Gary Thomas, we love him, author extraordinaire, if you're familiar with sacred marriage. He has actually written a book called Sacred Pathways as well, and this is where he talks about the different spiritual temperaments and how if you don't like the way other people worship or you don't like the ways that they express their faith, that's just because you're different, okay? So he talks about different ways of doing that. And then I kind of talk to him about relationally too. Once you get married and move towards marriage, how do you reconcile some of those differences? So he has really good thoughts on that. I want to make sure I did mention this at the end of the show, but I also want to let you guys know, because you can get online right now as you're listening to this, we are in our year-end giving campaign, and we do not like boundless people to be shown up when it comes to giving. So do go to our candy dish at boundless.org and give a year-end gift to Boundless. If you give via the candy dish, Boundless gets credit for it. Woo! And then we can go ahead and share our great success once the new year hits as to, you know, boundless people who gave. So speaking of which, we are totally loving your Christmas cards as well. We're putting them up on a board. So we're taking a picture and putting it up on Facebook. So if you haven't seen that already, very exciting stuff. I want to introduce the roundtable this week because we are going to be discussing what we learned in 2012. Hopefully we have learned something. I don't know if we picked our people based on thinking they would have learned something or what, but hopefully. So Andrew Hess is here. Andrew, welcome.
It's good to be here. Merry Christmas,
wasn't this
everybody.
The year you got saved?
It was. I found the Lord.
So that's good. He's going to talk about that. So the pastor who now knows Jesus. That's good to hear.
After seminary. Made it all the way through seminary.
Yeah.
Better late than never.
Yeah, it's true.
Adam Holtz is here. Adam.
Good to be here, Lisa.
Very good to have you. He is going to share thoughts that are perhaps not movie related.
I don't think.
As a plugged in stalwart, typing away with all these Christmas movies that have just blazed everybody away. I haven't seen either of them yet. Is that sad? Well, one, Les Mis doesn't come out until Christmas, right? Day?
I think that's right.
Okay. So, but The Hobbit. I wasn't going to stand in line for that.
I get it. I saw The Hobbit.
Really?
On Sunday.
Part one.
Yeah, part one.
16.
Excellent.
That's good.
Well, maybe you'll have some spiritual thoughts that have come out of that. Martha is here. Martha.
Hello, Lisa.
Martha's here. She's always learning something spiritual, like every day.
So she calls it devos.
We're gonna have to just shut her up at some point here because she's gonna be so spiritual.
She'll be interrupting us.
Exactly. Oh no, you learned that, but let me tell you what I learned. No, just kidding. So
the Jesus juke.
Exactly. Exactly. She'll trump us all. So okay. Well, we are because we're kind of rounding up this year, and I should say that our next 2 weeks we're doing best of shows. So we're kind of. We've compiled some of the segments that have been our most popular this year into new shows, so you can listen to those. They're also a great way to pass the show on to friends if you say, hey, these were three stellar segments, so here's a great way to sample the Boundless show.
It's a Boundless sampler.
It really is. It really is. So I'm just saying. Okay, well, let's go ahead and start talking about this. First of all, when we talked to you guys about possibly reflecting on this past year and what you learned, did you, as you started thinking about it, was it one of those years where you're like, I really learned a lot this year? Or where you were kind of like, I'm going to have to think about this?
For me, I learned a lot this year. Well, I've been going through kind of a transition. I've actually been moving churches. And so, you know, before this year, I probably would have said, you know, you really shouldn't move churches. I mean, you should just stay where you are unless, you know, they start, you know, preaching against the Bible or something. But for the most part, you know, have deep roots and stay put.
Yes, you should if they start preaching.
There are several things. Yeah, so one of the things I've been learning is, you know, ways to transition, ways to leave, ways to make a move, because I do think it is easy once you decide to leave your church to slip into kind of a hopping mentality where it's, let's just bounce around, go to a lot of different churches and just find one that I just like everything about it, you know, and becoming more of a
kind of like looking for the perfect girl.
Yeah. You know, you could compare it to that. And so I've really thought a lot about that this year as I've actually transitioned, thought a lot about how do we transition well and thinking about that. So that's something that has been on my heart.
That's good.
You know, I did have to think about it. I've got a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old at home, and a wife that works part-time. And I often joke, I have 3 categories, work, church, and children, and there's not much outside of any of those categories. So my life mostly consists of what's the next thing that has to be done right now, and that usually starts at 6 in the morning and goes to about 11 o'clock every night. So I think compared to my single years, this season of life is not a season in which I have a lot of space for reflection. And so there's probably like spiritual things happening all around me all the time that I'm missing because I'm not paying attention. But every now and then God just, you know, whacks me upside the head and I think, oh, I should probably pay attention to that. And one of those things happened in church. I think it was late October. Each October, our church has a stewardship drive and ask people to think about what kind of financial commitment they're going to make for the next calendar year. And my wife and I have both been pretty faithful givers, you know, all of our adult lives. So that's not an area where God just grabs me and thinks, oh, you've got to do better here. And so it's easy for me to sort of check out completely during the month of October. But our pastor was talking about 2 Corinthians 9:6-15, which is a really familiar passage. And the Holy Spirit did something really interesting in that he gave me a completely different application for that. And it's a passage you're all familiar with. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, it's the stuff really good bumper stickers are made of, and it's so familiar we can sort of not think about it. And what happened was I had this moment where I thought, I need to apply this to my relationships. You know, money and giving is not an area where we really struggle, but I think there are times where I feel like, especially with my own children, I'm not giving cheerfully or generously. I'm giving under compulsion, you know, through gritted teeth. And certainly there are moments when parenthood is like that. And so I've kind of landed on this word generosity and kind of thinking I want to spend the next year. I don't like New Year's resolutions because mostly those are just things that go off the rails immediately. But I thought for 2013, what I really want to ask God to work on in me is, am I being generous to those who are closest to me? And already, you know, just asking God, Lord, when I have 16 demands, when my kids ask me to do something and then ask me to do something else before I got the last thing done and then do it again and I lose my temper, which happens on probably a daily basis, you know, help me to be generous. Help me to be open-handed and really willing to give to them. And I think often in life, that's the way it is. Sometimes we give the most to people that we don't really have any relationship with, and those closest to us get the leftovers. So that was sort of my aha moment really for the fall. And it's one that I think I can probably spend the next year meditating on and asking God to help me do better in that area.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, because one of the things that I've learned, especially in the past couple months, is we've moved my mom into an assisted living place. And that's been a big transition, not only for her, but for our family, and just helping her let go of her home, you know, that she had with my dad and all those kind of memories, and making this transition, which she needed to do. I mean, she needs some help with that, with just some certain things, you know, but at the same time, still being very independent as she is. And so it's been a very push-pull. And for me to have conversations with her, because I try to check in with her, you know, almost daily, if not, you know, maybe every other day or so. And, you know, just walking with her through loneliness and through transition and feeling a little bit not forgotten. I mean, she knows we have her best interests at heart, but feeling like she didn't want this life stage to come. And she's kind of feeling like, so where do I go from here? And what purpose do I have now? And so for me to verbalize how much I appreciate her and how much she still means to me and how much her prayers mean and that she's still a part of my life. And that's been a very, I've had to be very intentional about that and not just be like, yeah, mom, what are you doing? You know, good. Okay, well, I got to run off to my next thing, you know, but investing in her.
And there's always a next thing. And I think, you know, it's focus on the family, right? We know that we should be prioritizing our children and our marriages, but So often it's easy to prioritize things that ultimately, while important, may not be the most important things. Mm-hmm. And so just coming back to that intentionality as it, you know, applies to my relationships with my kids and my wife, I have to choose to do that. And I'm not very good at that. I'm really good at doing what's next, but maybe I need to do more than that.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I think too that more and more as we live away from our parents, you know, I live about 1,000 miles away from my parents. And whenever they go through stuff where it's like a challenge or it's a major life event, or I know there's a lot of emotion wrapped up into it, it's hard to be at a distance and to help them.
Yeah.
You know, when you're there, you can read what's going on. You can think about how can I help them or how can I comfort them? And when it's just a phone call, you can kind of sense, okay, something's not right or there's something up, but you're powerless to do anything about it. You know, because I mean, you just say, hey, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. I mean, and they don't want us.
And you know things aren't fine.
Yeah, and they don't want their kids worrying about them. But that's always a challenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just one of the challenges of living, I guess, at a distance.
That's interesting. When I talk to my parents, it's always usually about me.
It used to be about me. That's a transition I've had to make. So yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, that's something that I think God has pointed out to me this past year is that a lot of things are all about me. And I was going to write up a blog post kind of related to this, but I'm just going to talk about it instead. But what
you
I really
do know both.
You, I could. Yeah.
You'll have to talk about it, then everyone will be like, write about it.
But yeah. Just a realization I've had is like in high school, elementary school, I hated group projects. It was always just let me do it and get out of my way kind of mentality. But we have had so many things this year of, well, first of all, you know, we're trying to redesign boundless.org, which is a massive group project that has caused a lot of frustration. Mm-hmm. I was co-leading a small group for a little while this, I guess, earlier in the year and trying to collaborate with another guy of what we were going to do or not do. And I went on vacation with a couple friends where I had to compromise of what we did and where we stayed and where we're going to eat. And it was just all these things where I was like, people are difficult. So.
This is not my preference.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. But so, I mean, just trying to learn to be more humble and realize that I don't have all the answers and being more teachable, I think, is a common theme I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least now you can send a copy of this podcast to them and they'll know how you feel.
I was going to say, you're supposed to have learned all this working with me, Martha.
You notice she didn't have any boss illustrations.
I know, exactly. Yeah, those are going to show up in the blog post. Everyone can
I think we work together pretty well.
Yeah, we do. We're very different, but we work well together.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we don't have a third person in the mix because they'd be the crazy person and then we'd have to kick them out.
Three's always a bad number.
Exactly. That third wheel. So good. Well, what else? What else have you guys been learning?
I've been reading some stuff that I've never read before, which is always interesting. But I think I've been learning a lot about the process of sanctification in my life and just growing and growth. I've blogged a little bit about that, but just thinking about growth more as this normal part of our lives, that we're always on the grow, that we're always changing and growing. And I think sometimes I slip into thinking, it'll be nice when I just get to the point where I can stop worrying about all these struggles that I have or difficulties that I'm going through. And to see that, you know, this side of heaven, it is this ongoing growth, that we're always growing. I wrote a blog post on, we're more like plants than projects. Mm. And the point there is that just like plants need regular feeding and regular food, that we also need regular time with the Lord, that we should never think, well, if I just could get to a certain level, then I could relax on striving and trying to do the right thing. And so seeing that and thinking through that has been another thing that I've been kind of chewing on this year.
Hmm. You know, I think kind of in that same neck of the woods, to continue your organic metaphor, I think that I'm 42 and I hate limits. I hate the limits of who I am. I hate limits being put on me. And yet I think sort of one of the fundamental tasks of growing up is sort of coming to grips with and making peace with the fact that there are limits, that we can't do everything, that there are consequences. And these seem like really basic kinds of lessons. But I find myself bumping into that fairly regularly and sort of having to say, okay, well, what do I do with that? And I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast before. the years that I was single, I had tons of time to really invest in both relationships and my relationship with God. And in the season that I'm in now, as I mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of time for either one of those things. And so the ways that I spent years cultivating relating to God haven't really translated very well to this particular season. And not so much marriage, but marriage with kids. And this maybe goes back to what I was talking about, you know, being generous towards my kids. I think sometimes, and this is, I'm going to confess something that's going to sound really terrible and self-centered. Sometimes I can feel like my kids are, you know, impediments to spiritual growth. And, you know, on a really spiritual day when I get up early and I sit down and I actually start praying and have my Bible open, which frankly is not every day, and one of my kids comes bounding down the stairs 2 minutes later, my response should be, you know, there's my child. I love them. And sometimes my response is, Lord, come on, I'm trying. Can you give me more than 2 minutes here? But that's one of the limits of this season, and just sort of surrendering that to God and saying, Lord, I have to figure out, you know, ways to relate to you that are reckoning with the reality of these limits and not being mad about it, but just, you know, surrendering some of those frustrations and that that determination to live life kind of on my own terms. I totally resonate with what you're talking about, Martha. It's just so easy to say, well, what about me? What about my preferences? What about my needs? And it just turns into the nastiest giant wine session you've ever heard. And so just taking that back to God moment by moment and asking him to help me surrender that. And some moments I do that better than others.
That's good. Getting back to what Martha said, I too, you know, have been in a long season with our website, and really one that's been almost 3 years in the making now when we finally decided to get started on this new site and what would that look like and how would we begin. And I just finished a study on the life of David that was very good and very eye-opening to me because, you know, I've kind of done David Cliff Notes, I think, throughout my life. You know, you have the highs of, you know, Goliath and, you know, lows, Bathsheba, you know, just all the flannel graph David kind of things. And in doing a really comprehensive study of his life, just
The Bathsheba version is always there are fewer flannel graphs, I know, you know, than the Goliath
that's true. That's true. But you know, looking at his life as really, and I was thinking, I just finished up this study last week, and just thinking how at the end of his life, he must have looked back and wished that he was in those fields, like with the sheep again, and how much life had happened and how difficult it was, you know, the highs and the lows. But I mean, he was someone that lived full tilt, and he only lived till 70, you know, which by those standards was pretty young back in biblical times. But just the way that he lived and the fact that he was a man after God's own heart, but still had a lot of valleys, you know. And the one season I was thinking of was when he was establishing his household and he took all these wives, even though he wasn't supposed to. And gradually he didn't even know who was in his family. I mean, he had so many different people, and he was, you know, there were betrayals and all this craziness. It was like a biblical dynasty or Dallas, you know, soap opera. And just he was very passive in a lot of it. You know, there was a lot that Absalom did, that Adonijah did, that he was just like, whoa, what, whoa, you know, and then people had to come and like set him straight. And I just love, though, how at the end of his life, you know, he's already been told that he's not going to build the temple, that Solomon is going to do it. And I love how he tells Solomon in First Chronicles, basically, this is your job to do. And then he goes in about the span of like 10 verses, he tells him exactly how to do it, which is very close to my heart because I love telling people what to do. So he's like, I can't do this, but let me tell you how to do it. But one of the verses that really has meant a lot to me in the last few weeks is it says 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Then NIV says, do the work. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And I just think in light of us going ahead with this website, I'm in the process of trying to write a book, which is going to kill me if I don't get it done. And then I'm involved with a church plant, with the church I'm going to, and just all these things where there's a lot of like slogging through things. And I just think, Lisa, be faithful, be strong and courageous, and do the work, and just keep doing it. And then God has to show up, and God has to bring about the results. And so that's been a really big thing for me, I think, this fall especially.
I think on a national level, too, I feel like we're slogging through things. So just like with the wildfires and shootings and election and a fiscal cliff, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, it, just this year has just been like, is there any hope for I don't know. I just, you have let it get to me too much.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's been sad.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, sometimes in the hard moments, you realize what's actually in there. I think, you know, you mentioned the shootings. I think the most poignant thing I've seen on the news is the father of one of the victims, you know, just saying he's not angry and talking about what a blessing his daughter was. I mean, just absolutely tear-inducing stuff. But this man's faith, and he talked about God in passing. I'm pretty sure he was a person of faith. But it's clear that that was in place before this happened. You know, you can't in those moments of tragedy and hardship just sort of summon up this thing that you haven't been working on and integrating into your life. And I think I was just so inspired, even in the midst of this horrible tragedy, you know, by this man's faith and the fact that it seemed very real to him, even in the hardest of moments.
That's true. That's a good place to find the hope and inspiration of we can be encouraged.
Well, and a reminder too, I think that not only do we not have hope, I mean, if it were only for this world, you know, that we had hope, we wouldn't make it, but that we can take the hope that we have and give it to others as well in our telling and in our showing. I mean, there are a lot of people, you know, now heading into the end of the year, we're heading into one of the most depressing seasons of the year, the end of December, beginning of January, when a lot of people take stock of their lives and are struggling. And this is a great time for us to be real and to put an arm around the people that we know and we love. So thanks, you guys, for weighing in with this.
You're welcome.
Very good.
It's good to be here.
I do have to mention that the reason Andrew found a good church is because he found my church. I'm just saying, I have to put that out there. I can't let it go unsaid, but bless his heart. It's a good place, isn't it?
It is. It's a really good place. Love
it's
the people
it's
there.
Good. It would be good even if I weren't there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
But I don't know.
But it's better than
you.
But sometimes I just like to think I add once in a while. Okay. Anyway, thanks, you all. Thanks for being part of the conversation.